Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Michael tweets, DA, can you hear the jubilation in Knoxville from there? Over a coaching vacancy, and the AD is smiling like the Grinch when Gruden's name comes up. It was time for Butch Jones to go. We all know that. It was time for him to go weeks ago when he was shut out at home by Georgia. And the Butch Jones era in Knoxville is a complicated one. He's an easy punchline now. The garbage can, the champions at life, the five-star heart, all that nonsense makes him a punchline. It's more complicated than that because Butch Jones helped win at a program that wasn't winning. Derek Dooley and Lane Kiffin were 4 years of a waking nightmare for Vols fans. They weren't winning 9 games a year. They weren't having top 10 recruiting classes. Butch Jones changed that. This program is in a far better position today than when Butch Jones took over. Whoever gets this job walks into a good job. Yeah, Georgia looks to be a burgeoning powerhouse in the East. But in the East, the Gators are down. And it's kind of a wide open South Carolina's back to what South Carolina was. It's back to a very winnable, it's Vanderbilt, it's Kentucky, Missouri, a very winnable side of the SEC. It's the side you want to be on. Tennessee should be a favorite or one of the favorites to win the SEC East every single year. And Butch has finally built it back to where those are the expectations again. Recruiting is much better today under Butch Jones. The guy was able to sell the program. But it wasn't translating in big games. They were stubbing their toe in games they should win. They couldn't get over that next level. And he sounded like an idiot. It's a shame because he did a lot of good things football-wise, but he sounded like an idiot. And as he became more embattled, he sounded stupider and stupider. There's a lot of used car salesmen in college football and basketball, and that's not what I want to hear either. But Butch Jones just had the inability to feel like a human being up there. He just wasn't a human being. He looked like a human fire hydrant, and he would just kind of be adamant and prickly and defiant and say stupid things. And you didn't need to do that. You didn't need to do that. And then once it started coming apart, the vulture started picking at the carcass. So yeah, this is a long time coming for Tennessee Vols fans. They wanted him out, and they got their wish, and he needed to be out. I'm, though, not holding my breath on John Gruden. John Gruden has a cushy job where he makes as much money talking about games on Monday nights as he would working every single day and being under the scrutiny of having to win. It sounds great. I mean, John Gruden would be a returning hero. You take over that program and you go to an SEC title game. You get to a college football playoff. Hell, you beat Alabama. And you are a hero, a god walking on water. But is John Gruden really ready for the commitment, the work, to go recruit an offensive lineman outside of Atlanta on a Tuesday? Is he ready for that? Is John Gruden ready to watch film on the Kentucky backfield for 14 hours a day? Is John Gruden ready to go talk to the rubber chicken circuit and try to make sure the donors and boosters are happy during the bye week? Because that's all the stuff that it takes to really do this thing right. It's not just coaching on Saturdays. You're recruiting throughout the year. You're worried about 18-year-olds' faxes coming through. You're worried about what kids are doing on Snapchat, what your players are doing on Instagram, what they're doing either in the library or out of the library on a Monday. You're worried about everything. Is John Gruden, who's making a lot of money to just simply call games, yeehaw, Y2 Spider Banana on Monday, is he ready to now go all in? Which is why Bill Cowher never came back. That's too good a gig. Tony Romo could have played football and said, you know, this TV thing's pretty good. John Gruden's going to leave TV to coach football? No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. It's a nice story. It'd be a lot of fun. You guys know I love the SEC. Adding John Gruden to the SEC mix, dadgummit, I'm signing up for that every single day. But is John Gruden really ready to live a much more difficult life? Way more stressful? Nah, I'm not buying it. Not buying it. Like, he wants to wake up on a Sunday morning and have to explain why they lost to Missouri? I just don't think he's ready for that. It's too good. Life is too good for John Gruden right now. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Can we play that Martellus Bennett clip again? The Bennett situation is so shady. It's beyond shady. Martellus Bennett is now at war with the Green Bay Packers, who released him, having just signed him to a 3-year deal before the season. Over whether he's injured, whether he's not, does he need surgery on the shoulder, can he play? He is released and within the week signed and suited up playing last night for the Patriots.
It's not about could you play, it's should you play. You know, it was one of those things. So right now I'm just like shit. So, I mean, when Bill called me after they said, after they claimed me, at first I told my agent to tell him no teams to claim me because I was still trying to get the surgery or whatever. So when Bill called and said that they claimed me, I was like, no way. And then he was like, so what's going on? And I told him, and then I was like, he's like, you know, we had a quick conversation, and I was just like, let me think about it. Let me call you back. Now I don't even know if I went through the seven stages of grief yet.
Real funny for the Patriots. Not so funny for the Packers. Martellus Bennett unloaded on the Packers, unloaded on the team doctor, Patrick McKenzie, to the point where you had basically every Packer ever going, no, the doctors are great. McKenzie's great. Even JerMichael Finley, who has warred and quarreled and bickered with the Packers and their organization basically since he left, supported the doctors and Patrick McKenzie. Tom Crabtree, former Packer, took it a step farther and tweeted, if you ever thought a team front office coach gave a bleep about a player's character, see the Patriots letting the fraud, Martellus Bennett, suit up and play tonight. He quit and lied in Green Bay days ago. He's now signed and playing in New England. Martellus Bennett is insisting that the Packers doctors were pushing him on the field when he wasn't ready to play. and that he is debating whether or not, or he was, having surgery on the shoulder. However, as Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman, had pointed out on Twitter last night, Martellus Bennett didn't even wear a shoulder harness, which would be typical if you actually had, you know, a shoulder injury. This is what happened. Martellus Bennett signed up for a Super Bowl run with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He had a dinged up shoulder. Certainly not 100%, but you could play through it. And he would have played through it had Aaron Rodgers stayed healthy. But Martellus Bennett, who is already discussing retirement, is thinking post-retirement or post-playing, I don't really need a mangled shoulder to be catching passes for Brett Hundley. Now I'm in it for Martellus Bennett, which I don't blame him. Look, you start thinking about your post-playing career when you get to his age and how mangled you want your body to be and what's a business decision. But Martellus Bennett is hiding behind slandering the Packers organization and team doctor to basically force his way out of what he sees as a worthless situation. You know he's suiting up for the Packers every Sunday if Aaron Rodgers is quarterback. You know it. But Martellus Bennett, as soon as Rodgers went down, was like, ah, you know what? This is kind of the end for me. I can't wait till I retire. Thanks, everybody, for watching me play the last couple of years. Wait, what? Middle of the season, announcing your retirement? It's going to come up after the season? Sorry, can't play. Shoulder injury. I mean, you guys have known about this. I don't know, but I can't go out there. What, suddenly? The Packers cut him, and he signs with the Patriots and suits up the first game. How injured do you think that shoulder is? When asked how he miraculously no longer has a shoulder injury to keep him out, which he said he didn't feel comfortable playing with in Green Bay, but they were forcing him out there and he wanted to have surgery. Miraculously, he's signed by the Patriots and now he's going to play in the first game. He says, I have that vengeance in my heart and I'm saying, bleep it, let's go ball. You know what I smell? Martellus Bennett, who has been basically worn out his welcome everywhere he's ever been. He's been in five teams in his NFL career. Is in it for Martellus Bennett. Fine. A lot of players are. But quit on his team midway through the season because he saw it was a losing proposition with a bad quarterback. And this is exactly what happened with LeGarrette Blount. Exactly. LeGarrette Blount didn't like his touches with the Steelers, and so he quit on the team, and the Patriots said, we'll take you. Look, I don't blame the Patriots. They're going to do whatever it takes. They are cutthroat. They are cold-blooded. It doesn't matter. Ethics and morals and stuff, that's out the window. But that's most of the NFL, if not all of the NFL. But I don't want to hear how Martellus Bennett's a great guy. Not just the same way I didn't want to hear how LeGarrette Blount was a great guy. You know, all week, Super Bowl week, everybody crapped all over Marshawn Lynch because he wouldn't talk to the media. But LeGarrette Blount was this happy-go-lucky, funny guy to the Patriots side, ignoring the fact that he quit on his team midway through the season to join the Patriots, which is exactly Martellus Bennett. And guess what? Bennett gives good quotes, and you hear the media already going, oh, that's so cute, that's so funny. Oh, joy, joy, joy. Oh, this guy's so funny. No, he's a quitter. He quit and finagled his way out of Green Bay, faked the severity of the injury to then join the Patriots. Miraculously willing to play through an injury for Tom Brady, certainly not for Brett Hundley. So when the Patriots get to the playoffs and perhaps a Super Bowl, guess what's going to happen? Martellus Bennett, oh, what a funny guy he is. He's the black unicorn. He writes children's books. He's so funny and charming. When in reality, they got another quitter. LeGarrette Blount, quitter. Martellus Bennett, quitter. Patriots collecting all the quitters they can. You're a quitter. You're a quitter. We'll take all the quitters. It's obnoxious. One team signs you, and then the moment it goes bad, you're like, peace. Oh, well, hang on. I can play for a winner. All right, I'll come back again. When we come back, can you trust the Pittsburgh Steelers after yesterday? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
From the right hash, Canaday with a snap, Berry with a hold to decide this football game, hopefully, in Pittsburgh's favor. Good snap, ball down, kick on its way. The Boz comes through, and the Pittsburgh Steelers come from a big hole and win a very important game.
You know, the guys didn't blink, and they're to be given credit for that. But we didn't play great today, and I think that was part of the reason why we were in those circumstances. You got to give some credit to those guys, though. They really did a nice job and got on top of us.
Mike Tomlin in the win at the buzzer for the Steelers. That was Bill Hillgrove and Steelers Radio on the call. Boy, did Pittsburgh look terrible early in that game yesterday against the Colts. Indianapolis is a floundering organization with a coach in the hot seat. Andrew Luck mess hanging over their heads, and the worst defense in football. And the Steelers, with all of those weapons and a future Hall of Fame quarterback, should have gone out there, jumped out 17-3 or 21-0, and it should have never been a game. And instead, it was the Colts that built the lead, and the Steelers had to fight back. I give the Steelers credit because they did. And certainly Roethlisberger on that game-winning field goal drive, he was brilliant. And really in the second half, he was fantastic after a terrible start. I think this is a Mike Tomlin problem. I also think it's a Ben Roethlisberger problem. Those are the two leaders of your team emotionally. And when they play bad teams, they play bad opponents, they play down to those opponents. That's who the Steelers have been for a long time. And that's just never something you see a team like, say, the Patriots do. They never played down to the opponent. So the Steelers have this in them, unfortunately. But they might have had best case scenario yesterday because hopefully that woke them up and they didn't suffer the loss. They need to stay step by step with the Patriots to remain in the hunt for home field advantage of the playoffs because it's way different getting the Patriots away from Foxborough. They've only played twice on the road in the playoffs in the last decade and lost both of those games in Denver. You'll say, well, the Patriots have won two AFC title games in Pittsburgh. They've beaten the Steelers at home as well. Yeah, but winning on the road in Pittsburgh in the playoffs was a long time ago. You're talking about 01 and 04. It's been a long time. I think the greatest risk that this Patriots program has taken ever is trading Jimmy Garoppolo last week. I think that's the greatest risk they've ever taken. And I'll tell you why. The Patriots have done everything nearly flawlessly. Certainly they've made mistakes. But in building a roster to supplement Tom Brady and evolving with Tom's game. So early in Tom's career, it was a defensive, sturdy team. And Tom got to manage games. As Brady became better, they spent more money on the offensive side and started giving him more control over the offense. When they took a step back in 2005 and 2006, they spent money on Wes Welker, and they brought in Randy Moss, and they said, okay, let's go for it all. Brady, you're the best quarterback in the league, or one of them. It's all on you. Then they transitioned out of that, drafted two tight ends, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski. They allowed that to become the evolution of the next part of their offense. Now they realized with Welker and then Edelman and Amendola, let's work underneath stuff. Brady's getting older. We're not going to ask him to do so much downfield. He's a great timing guy. He's savvy with the offense. He can evolve. Let's get it out of his hands quicker because we know we don't want him hit this point in his career. And so every step of the way, the Patriots have done incredible work supplementing Brady, giving him the resources he needs to succeed. They finally bet on Brady, though, past the age of 40. And at some point in time, Brady can no longer do this. It might not be next year. It might not be 2018. But at some point, it's coming. Jimmy Garoppolo allowed you to keep the championship window open. I believe Garoppolo was not Tom Brady, but that Garoppolo could be a Pro Bowl type quarterback that could keep the window open the next 8 years. And when you traded him away, you now are back to square one of having to bet on Brady every single Sunday to not get injured. Hey, man, maybe Brady is not crazy. I know I made fun of him, but maybe he's not crazy when he says, I've taught my brain how to teach my muscles how to not get injured when I get hit or get sacked. Sounds kooky, but whatever. Maybe Brady won't get injured. But if he does, Patriots are now screwed. Forget a championship. They can't win a championship with Brian Hoyer. They can't win a playoff game likely with Brian Hoyer. And so what happens if next week Tom Brady has a concussion? What happens if Tom Brady suffers exactly what Jacoby Brissett suffered? What happens if Tom Brady suffers a broken collarbone like Aaron Rodgers? Not only is this season a mess, but what happens if at the end of the season, Brady said, you know what? I'm not putting my head on the line anymore. That's it. I've had a great run. I'm retiring. What happens after a broken collarbone if he goes, you know, I do not want to risk this anymore. I'm retiring. Then the Patriots went from a Super Bowl contender to having to scramble for a solution. Now, maybe they have this other plan B behind the scenes where they feel like they can trade for so-and-so in the offseason, or they've got their eye on so-and-so in the draft in the second round or the third round, or they feel like maybe they have that because Belichick has always done this. But this is the greatest risk they've ever taken. Because right now, it's Brady or bust at 40 years old, and there is no plan B. And they've always prepared for the future. They've always been a step ahead instead of a step behind. And they were never reliant on A has to happen or else we stink. And now they've done that. They've made that bet. It's not crazy to think that Tom Brady suffers a major injury late in this season, which blows up their year this year, and then next year he looks like, you know, Joe Montana at 38, or Brett Favre at 41, or Troy Aikman at 36. It's not crazy to think that that could happen next year. It's not crazy to think that he could suffer an injury this year that pushes him towards retirement. And if that's the case, they have just traded away the guy that could keep open that window for a second-round draft pick. The Patriots have made gambles in the past, and they seemingly have always won on them. Maybe this is another gamble that they win on. They bet, and they usually win. But at some point, you lose a bet. And if they lose this bet, they just screwed themselves out of another championship window. And think of how hard it is to find a quarterback in the NFL. They had one, and they traded it for a number two. When we come back here on the show, a little cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail, and the Saints with a playoff-esque win. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Fair. I have more of an egg. Yes.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And remember, you can always watch the show by going to watchda.com. Put it on your smartphone. Put it on your smart TV. Watch the simulcast at watchda.com. Or watch the best of the show in clip form on YouTube. As soon as we're off there, we post them to the CBS Sports Radio's YouTube page, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. And speaking of YouTube, tomorrow there I will release my newest episode of Nomad, my travel web series. Having gone down to Auburn, you'll get to see the rolling of Toomer's Corner, what I ate while I was down there, the game experience, War Damn Eagle, the tailgate and everything. It was an amazing trip. What a cool weekend. Everybody was fantastic. Got to tour the stadium on Friday night, at least get on the field and look at the locker rooms. Very cool aspect that they do for Auburn fans. Keep the open locker room and go out onto the field the night before home game. So we did that. That was great. So that's all coming up at the newest episode of Nomad. Tomorrow it'll be released on YouTube, and I'll tweet it out and put it on Facebook as well. I'm a big Papa Meraz fan, and so I feel for him, seeing as though the New York Giants, the team that is most meaningful to Papa Meraz, has just crashed and burned. Meraz, you tweeted out a picture and posted on Instagram last night the scene at the Meraz household during the Giants' butt-whooping at the hands of the previously winless 49ers. And Papa Meraz looks like a beaten, defeated man.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like an old catcher's mitt there. He's got a good double chin going. His face is beet red. On his lap, on the picture on Instagram, he's just got a plate of Buffalo Wild Wings nachos. Even the dog next to him in the Giants jersey looks dejected. It was a rough Sunday. This was a guy who knows the season's lost, but at least rallied the family around. We're playing the 49ers. We will have at least one more win to celebrate the season.
Oh.
And they got their butt whooped, and things weren't pretty down there in that basement.
This was a day where Papa Meraz said, if we don't win another game all season, we'll at least get this W, and so let's use this as a celebration Sunday. And he ordered how much Buffalo Wild Wings?
We had about $80 worth of Buffalo Wild Wings.
And it's never even really a game.
No,
it's
no.
Not even a good game.
As things turned early in that first half, you could see the mood around the room wasn't good. A lot of people staring at their phones. A lot of tweeting going out amongst the room. Not a lot of interaction between all of us. In fact, when they scored their first touchdown, my father went to pour shots like we were going to have a big day. And you just knew, like, this was a waste. We're going to do one shot, and that's going to be the end of it.
This is what I love about Papa Meraz, is that even though this is a lost season, he would have tried to rally the troops for one Sunday. And if that meant one Sunday of having a good time and doing some shots and having a few beers and eating Buffalo Wild Wings, so be it. Even though it was a meaningless win in a meaningless season, he was going to try to rally for some joy for one Sunday, and they couldn't even deliver that.
We have never, ever been the family to sit around a dinner table. We've never been the family, quite frankly, to be very religious and go to church and stuff. But what we have and what we've been taught our whole lives is no matter what happens at school or work throughout the week, no matter how many problems you have, as a family, we could sit down and we'll get 3 hours of an honest effort out of the Giants on Sunday. And we don't even have that anymore.
Not even.
And he's going to explode.
Not even close. So is he defeated? Is he angry? Is he sad?
He did say at one point after silence for about 15 minutes. I mean, we're losing to the freaking 49ers. Head's got a roll. Head's got a roll. As he headed into Bay Ridge to slice deli meats today.
Oh, you got to feel. It's just such a defeating season. The worst. Meraz, I think you'd be proud of how I ate while I was down in the South this week.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. Alabama's not known for salad, so I would assume.
So you might think little old DA, Northerner, buck 60 dripping wet. What's he going to fiddle around with a few pieces of lettuce? Oh, no. No, I went big. Shrimp and grits for breakfast with a biscuit. On Friday morning.
Wow, my cousin Vinny style.
Thursday night, went out and had a monster hamburger, one of the best burger joints in Atlanta with Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, one of our friends.
Jared Greenberg, going for the burger. Interesting, all right.
Yeah, it took me to a great burger place. It was like one of the best burgers in Atlanta. It was awesome. Then, on the way to Auburn, we hit up Bojangles.
Oh.
Okay. We had a Bojangles hit. At the tailgate. Tailgate was catered. Well, not really catered, but they had somebody cooking. Fried catfish, hush puppies, smoked sausage.
I love my sausage smoked.
And then to top it off, we returned back to Atlanta and a late night Waffle House hit.
Wow. Yeah, you couldn't have felt great after that. Waffle House sticks to your kidneys.
So I definitely need a salad. But that was my weekend in the South.
That explains the pineapple yogurt you've been eating for about 3 hours here.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was great. It was a great weekend. Let's get to your Ask the Pros question of the day brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts, as always. And today's question comes to us from Daniel on Twitter. DA, will the Giants organization let Ben McAdoo coach out the rest of the season, or will they axe him soon? When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I think they're going to let him coach through this because there's not a hot candidate that I think they need to get a jump on. This is a down year for coaching candidates. Steve Spagnuolo's defense, he would be the obvious interim coach. The defense has been dreadful and a disaster. And so to change over to Spagnuolo would be giving the keys to a guy that can't get his unit squared away. I think they're going to let him coach through this. And I'm even going to say this, which is crazy. I'm not convinced they've decided to fire him yet. I think that they will probably get there because I don't think it's going to get better. This is a 1-15, 2-14 type team. And I think when the dust settles, they'll have to make a change. But I don't think they've made a decision on firing him yet. So, yeah, I think he'll end up coaching the rest of this season. It can't get uglier. It's already rock bottom. If you don't fire him now, I mean, can it get worse? Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
I mentioned this off the top of the show, but I want to also go back to it. The New Orleans Saints had a playoff caliber victory. Now, the Buffalo Bills seem to be sliding into what they used to or what they've kind of been for the long time. That's irrelevant in December. But still going on the road and winning the way that they did is a really impressive signal for the rest of the NFC and for Saints fans that they can win in the playoffs even if they're not at home inside that dome. I loved what I saw out of the Saints yesterday. Their offensive line dominant. They had two 100-yard rushers in Ingram and Kamara. Drew Brees only had to throw for less than 200 yards. The defense totally stymied the Bills. And frankly, that's the type of win that you need to be able to hit on all cylinders going into the playoffs and playing on the road in tough conditions. If they've got to go on the road to Philadelphia, that's the type of game they'd have to play in. Now, granted, if they got to go on the road to Minnesota, it's indoors, but Minnesota brings a tremendous defense. You'd have to be able to run the football. If you go out west to LA and play in Los Angeles, you'll get great weather. But again, you've got to prove that you can keep Jared Goff, the Rams offense, off the field. And that's what the Saints are doing right now. It's a great win. It's a great style of win. And I think right now, if you're a Saints fan, for the first time maybe ever, you're saying, we're built to win on the road in the playoffs. I don't know if the Saints have ever been able to say that. You might go back to the 80s. And early 90s, when the Saints had the Dome Patrol defense and could run the football with Dalton Hilliard and Ironhead Hayward, but they never really did. I mean, basically, this could be the first time in history that the Saints are built to win away from the Superdome in the playoffs.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
AP poll. Brand new AP poll coming out, and the Miami Hurricanes jumped to number 2. They're now 9-0. They were number 7 before that. Tomorrow night, we've got the college football playoff rankings. With the Associated Press, it's some sense of where the playoff rankings could go, but remember, not necessarily so. The new AP has Bama 1, Miami 2, Oklahoma 3, Clemson 4, Wisconsin 5, Auburn 6 over Georgia. I actually think that the playoff committee might put Clemson ahead of Miami, which is a little odd because Miami just had that big thumping of a very good Notre Dame team. But I think that the playoff committee weighs Clemson's early season when they were number 2, defending national championship, 2-time in the big game, heavier than a Miami team that kind of got by the skin of their teeth early in the season and have now had, they're coming on late, obviously. They've had two really good games back-to-back in the thumping of Notre Dame, but I think the committee might put Clemson above them because Clemson also has a more balanced team. Clemson can beat you on the defense. They can beat you on the offense. If Kelly Bryant's healthy, he's a very good QB. I think you might flip those, and you might see Bama 1, Clemson 2, Oklahoma 3, Miami 4 in the college football playoff rankings. Again, I've talked about this. It doesn't really matter because the only thing that matters is the final rankings. They can jumble them up and mix them up, and they reserve the right to change everything that they want when they change it. So it's going to be interesting to see if they put Wisconsin in the top four, still undefeated. If they jump up Miami as high as the AP did, what they do with Auburn after that win. But watch the Miami-Clemson thing.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And breaking news this morning, Carlos Beltran has announced his retirement. Not all that surprising, because it seemed like Beltran during that World Series was playing in his final series ever. He has just become kind of a role player, no longer a great defensive wizard like he once was, playing a DH role and not even being all that effective at it. But Carlos Beltran has a very strong Hall of Fame resume. 9-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glover, Rookie of the Year. Now he's got a championship as well. What a cool way to go out, winning a World Series title in his final game, in a Game 7. And Beltran, when he was young, was the preeminent defensive center fielder. I mean, in Kansas City for bad teams, he used to do things that I couldn't believe covering that team out there. Climbing the walls, scaling the center field, diving catches, and then, you know, hitting 320 with 25 home runs. Beltran was one of the best two-way offensive and defensive baseball players of his era. And what an amazingly long career. When he was traded to the Astros in 04 at the deadline, basically single-handedly carried that Astros team into the playoffs and then through the playoffs. An amazing October that he had. He might forever be remembered for the bat on his shoulder with the New York Mets and the NLCS in 06. But the guy had, if it's not a Hall of Fame career, pretty damn close. That was a hell of a run by Carlos Beltran.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. And these two calls back-to-back and a belly-to-belly earlier this morning were just fantastic. They're not failures. They made the morning. It's the DA Show's epic fail.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Charles is in Birmingham.
Don't watch the game Sunday night. Go to bed early where you can be on time for your job on Monday morning. Because after they get through getting beat down into the turf, then you're going to lose your job if you're late. So please, please, whatever you do, as soon as you get through eating, take a shower, go to bed. It's over. Take your game tickets, sell them. I should have known something was wrong when I was taking my son for a haircut. And the guy had tickets to the game. I said, wait a minute, these tickets are hard to get. I said, where you get them from? He must have known they was going to lose too.
Oh, no. We suck again.
It's over. I've been a Cowboy fan since 1978. After that game, go get you something to eat. You shouldn't even want that to eat. You shouldn't even want it. If they see you at McDonald's, they shouldn't even want to serve you. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Say, you the one gave us them six sacks. We don't want to give you. We ain't got that. We ain't got no more food. I'm sick of the Dallas Cowboys.
Rob's in Boise, Idaho.
DA, I got to tell you, this is President Donald Trump. I had to use Rob as a cover. I didn't know if I'd get through. I was just telling Melania, I got to have DA as my new press secretary. How's that? New press secretary.
Because they're a very dishonest lot, generally speaking, in the world of politics.
Ben McAdoo. DA, I love New York. You know I do. We're going to build a wall around McAdoo's house.
And I said, we need to build a wall.
We can't get out. Can't get out. He won't escape. And then we're going to make New York Giant football great again. Believe me, we're going to make it great again, DA. DA, I love your show. Thank you very much for letting me be on.
The fact is,
you have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Two great calls. Our first caller just trashing the Cowboys. It's over, DA. That was fantastic. Bella B tweets, DA, welcome to the Calgary airwaves. Nice to hear you again. Is that right? Did we just get picked up in Calgary? We got to double check that. That would be great.
A lot of Flames hockey.
That's why we always say we're north of the border as well. That would be very cool. Very, very cool. Daniel tweets, how many cold adult beverages did you consume on your wild weekend? I put in the over-under at 15. I mean, all told during the weekend, I'm guessing I hit 15, but not in one day. The tailgate was fantastic because it was bright and early, 10 a.m. for a 2:30 kick. Had a couple Bloody Marys in there, then a couple of beers after that. And then the great thing about college football is there's no beer inside the stadium, so nobody gets gross and disgustingly drunk. You get your buzz on before the game, then you go in, and then you watch football. Where in the NFL, you're on a beer line for half the game, and then everyone just gets sloppy. It's all coming out in Nomad tomorrow. It will be unveiled in the newest episode of Nomad tomorrow on YouTube. All right, that will do it for us this morning here on The DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and Andrew Kaplan, Cap, on the simulcast at watchda.com today. Tomorrow it's a Trash Tuesday, so be here and be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.